welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited today. We are here talking to another one of our Hallmark talented actors. I have Matthew James Dowden is here. And Matthew, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me. Very flattering to be on.
Yeah. So what we like to do with our interviews is to give you a chance to introduce yourself and to tell us what inspired you to become an actor.
Well, hello, everybody listening. My name is Matthew James Dowden, and I'm an actor based in Vancouver. And my story is not your sort of typical one. I didn't come to acting in the same way that a lot of actors do. I didn't do the whole drama school thing as a child. But certainly movies were a big part of my life from a very young age. I remember being, nothing for me was more exciting than being in a darkened movie theater. And especially that moment when the lights went down and the movie studio logo came on with a big orchestral theme like Universal and things like that. I think that really got into me at a very young age. And it's something that I think acting was something I was kind of searching for my whole life. Because it's funny that at school I used to always mimic movies and actors and things like that. And I sometimes mimic my teachers, actually, which got me into trouble sometimes. But my parents actually always used to say that if I could mimic, or if I could memorize, what did they say? They say if I could memorize my lessons and my studies the way I memorize movies and movie quotes and mimicked actors, then I would fly through all my exams. From then, because I had a very musical upbringing. I went to a music school when I was a child. I got a music scholarship to Durham Cathedral, which is a beautiful 1,000-year-old building in the northeast of England. So I guess I've been performing my whole life, really. My parents actually took me to violin and piano and singing lessons when I was a child, when I was about 5 years old. So there was always an element of performing in my life. So, and that kind of continued through senior school until I went to, decided to take a break from performing and went to law school, believe it or not. But funnily enough, the only aspect of law school that I think I was actually any good at was moot court is like pretend court case. It's pretending you for, sort of preparing you for becoming a solicitor or barrister or attorney. And right from the get-go, I knew that this is not, all this is acting. I've just got to convince myself of the arguments that I'm going to be putting forward. And then I've just got to convince the judge and everything. And it's a funny story. I'd actually read a book on moot court. And I read a part of it in one of the sort of dialogues. Somebody made an objection. And having seen all these courtroom dramas and movies and everything like that, that's what I'd always wanted to do. I think that's why I went to law school, because I think I wanted to act a lawyer rather than actually being a lawyer. So I thought, I have to do that. So I worked out my little sort of script that I was going to do. And I sat there and I listened to the other guy arguing his case. And I waited for anything that I could object to. And then I stood up and I said, if it pleases the court, and I made my objection. And the judge, who was used to just falling asleep during these cases, woke up, and the other guy looked very confused, because apparently nobody had ever objected in a moot court case before, because they kind of they're already kind of decided at the beginning. But out of about 150 students, I think I was the number one mooter in the year, simply because I knew it was kind of like acting rather than anything else.
That's funny.
But
the only one in his to object.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you win
and then
your objection?
Sorry?
Did you win your objection?
Well, no, that was the problem. Actually, the guy actually answered the objection, and I kind of said, okay, thank you very much, and I sat down. But it's a little bit cruel, but it kind of threw him off his game. And then he went back to reading his script, and I sort of realized from the beginning that I had to memorize what I was going to do. So I didn't have to look down at my sort of script that I was going to be looking at. I could address the judge. So it's kind of like an understanding of a courtroom drama, really, from the beginning. So,
mm-hmm. That's funny.
But yeah, I didn't win the case. I didn't overturn the case, you know, as a student. That was 4 years of law school.
Oof.
And then I decided to take a completely different tack, because I discovered magic and sleight of hand.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not your usual typical sort of law school story, but I saw magic on TV and I became obsessed with sleight of hand and magic. And it's funny that it just became, I remember I would be studying, but then I would leave a study hall to go and practice magic. And it's a bit of a geeky thing, but I uh-huh. just kind of knew that there was something there that I wanted to explore. So when I graduated law school, I decided I'm going to try being a professional magician for a while.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, I know. The question I always get asked is, and how did your parents feel about this?
but they're like, you could take the bar or you could become a professional magician.
Although a lot of people say lawyers and magicians are kind of the same thing, you know, make the charges disappear. But my parents, I'm very blessed that my parents are very supportive, and they basically said, Matthew, as long as you get your degree and you finish law school, you do what makes you happy and you follow your dream, etc. Yeah. So, and I think no matter how old you get, getting that parental sign off approval is very important. So that's what I did for the next 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
I was a sleight of hand. Yeah, I was a sleight of hand performer, and I was very lucky that I got to perform at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, and I did some shows for royalty, for Prince Harry and things like that. I actually used to perform, funny side story, I used to do regular shows at Alnwick Castle for the Duke and Duchess of Northumberland, and their castle, that is where Harry Potter is filmed.
No way.
Or was filmed, yeah. So I used to turn up to the gate and they would say, yes, can we help you? And I'd give my name. And then you'd go through the gates and you go through over this little mini drawbridge. And then around, and as you come around, there's the big green where they used to film, where they film Quidditch and all that kind of thing. And then you're shown in, and literally they live in Harry Potter. You know, it's like a castle. They literally live in a castle. And funnily enough, when I went to tie that in, I actually, a lot of Harry Potter was also filmed at Durham Cathedral, where I sang as a boy. So it kind of all came full circle that I was doing, that I sang as a boy in, Durham Cathedral, and then ended up doing shows where Harry Potter was filmed as a magician. It's kind of crazy. So,
So what instruments did you play as a child? You had piano and violin, you said?
Yeah, I was, I played violin and piano, and singing was a big part of it. So from about 5 years old, I think my parents saw an opportunity. I was walking past an instrument shop and I saw a violin and I said, hey, can I play that one? And I didn't know what it was. They just kind of said, yep, okay, this is going to be your life for the next 18 years. I'm always very grateful to my parents for sort of pushing me to explore different things. And I think it's always good to explore the options and keep going. And I think it gives you a lot of options later on if you've tried a few things when you're younger. So
that is so interesting. I thought that I evolved pretty interesting in my career, but nothing like that. That's really good. Because I actually thought about going to law school when I was when I was just finishing up college, because I had never really thought past bachelor's degree. It was just, I don't know. It was just, that was the big goal, was to.
That's the thing. Yeah. You see that as the end goal and then you think, well, hang on, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah. And I was just, I don't know. I was just kind of stumped. And I thought, well, most people that have political science degree go to law school. So I was like, well, I guess I better go to law school. And then I took the LSAT.
Okay.
Such a miserable experience. I hated it. I was just like, and my dad went to law school and he hated it. He did finish.
Oh, wow. So you thought you'd give it a shot, see if you liked it any better.
Yeah, no. And so I was like, I don't think, if I hate taking just the test to get in that much, I don't think this is for me. And so I didn't end up going, and thank goodness, I'm glad I didn't. But then I ended up later on getting, I served a mission for my church. And then after that, I ended up getting my MBA. So
decided
that route. And I worked in accounting for basically a decade, doing as like an accounting clerk, kind of a glorified receptionist, really. and then all of a sudden there became an opportunity to get into marketing, which was definitely always more interesting to me than accounting, for sure. And so I did that, and then I the whole time I was kind of doing a second career at the same time with a blogger for 10 years, and then the blogging kind of morphed into a YouTube channel, and then the YouTube channel morphed into podcasts. And so it's been kind of a crazy thing how sort of both parts of the career have sort of evolved and changed. And I've loved all, well, I didn't really love the accounting part, but everything else I probably loved.
But it's never a waste. First of all, I have to say that there's a lot of people that I went to law school with. Not many of them ended up doing law. People generally who end up doing law have done something else, and they do a conversion course. But I always think that anything you do, I never think it's a waste, no matter what you end up doing, because I like to say it's kind of like each one is like a little stitch in the tapestry of your life, you know, the things that make up who you are. And when you eventually get to the thing that you're doing, all those aspects come together and make you a more well-rounded person in the thing that you end up doing.
The people that you meet, the friends that you make along the way, all of that goes into play as well.
Absolutely. That's kind of what it's funny actually, because the route that I took and ending up doing, like, say, magic for so many years, I then ended up trying to, I felt like the stage was calling to me. So I decided to write, I had this idea for a one-man variety show based on all the things that I'd kind of been doing, but as a tribute to Hollywood. It was a show called Magic of the Movies. And it was a musical magic show inspired by Hollywood. So it involved singing and dancing and acting. And I played some piano, and so it was a tribute to Hollywood. So, for example, I would come out on stage. I would introduce myself to the audience, and I made it like an Oscar night kind of thing. And then I would go off stage, and there'd be thunder and lightning, and I'd come back on dressed as Gene Kelly, who was one of my heroes. And I would sing and dance, Singing in the Rain, and produce water and umbrellas, and I would kick towards the screen, and I had all the screen rain projected on the screen and time it with kicking splashes at the screen. And then I would do things like I would do a whole James Bond skit, because I used to do impersonations in the show. So I'd do, because again, like something that I used to do as a kid, impersonations. So I would do a Sean Connery impression, and I had a whole bit where his script writer had given him too many S's to say. So he had to go on a super secret mission by Sheeta Shishley to meet Shishilia Shimshin, you know, kind of thing. And then, you know, I'd introduce The Godfather and Willy Wonka, and I would sing Pure Imagination. So that was kind of how I then got into performing on stage, and then sort of acting and going to sort of bring back to the original sort of acting aspect of things. I ended up performing this at Edinburgh at around the sort of fringe festivals. And then ended up for the next 7 years really traveling. I was very lucky to have success with that show, and I traveled the world performing that show for the next sort of 7 years. So, but it was kind of like using, as we were talking about, sort of bringing all those aspects of what you've done throughout your life and sort of combining them all to create something else. So that was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. And so...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
How'd you end up in Vancouver, of all places?
Well, it was some friends, actually, who from Vancouver who convinced me, because I was looking, I'd been traveling for so long, you know, and I loved the travel, and I loved getting to see the world and doing the show, but I was looking to land somewhere. I'd been traveling a long time, and I wanted to do something on land and sort of set my feet down somewhere. So, and some friends from Vancouver said, look, you know, you've been acting, doing theater. Why not make the transition to TV and film? And there's a big TV and film industry here in Vancouver. So, So that's what I did. I kind of said, okay. I've always been someone who kind of just jumps in. And I have a little phrase that I like to use that I say that if you want to land on your feet, you've got to jump. And so I just kind of made that transition to Vancouver. And I was very lucky to get a manager and an agent. And pretty much kind of started that way. That's how I got into acting here.
That's so cool. Well, so I'd seen you in other roles, but you really stood out to me in this recent Mystery 101. And I'm watching and I'm like, Paloa better watch out, because this guy very much is very handsome and very talented. And I thought you did a really good job. I'm like, I don't know. Joe Wagner's going to have a hard time here.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. That was a lot of fun to film. It was a lot of fun to film. And especially, I mean, Jill is so great. You know, she's and she's just not just a great, she's a great actress or actor. She's fantastic, but just great person as well to hang out with. And that's one of the nice things about filming these. When you get to spend more than one day on a set, when you know, doing a sort of supporting lead or a lead, you really get to know people well and chat and get to know them. So, but to be able to spend time on set with people like that and Chris, you know, it was just a joy. So
We love Jill on the pod. We love both Jill and Chris on the podcast. We have actually interviewed Jill twice, and I kind of joke that she's my cousin. Because we have the same last name.
Oh, because you have the same last name.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, hey, we're related.
You probably are related in some way, maybe along the way. I don't know. It's funny. It's funny that I think she has kind of a similar story, doesn't she? That Jill kind of didn't come from that traditional drama background and that kind of thing as well. So I feel a bit of a kinship with Jill in that way.
Yeah. She started out just as a host and then... And then acting opportunities and we're so glad to have her in the Hallmark family, because we can always count on her roles to be some of the better ones of the year for sure. And
Mystery 101 was so great, and it came out so well. And as I say, Chris was great. It was was really fun about that role, I found, was that there was a lot of tension between my character and Chris's character, between Tim and Travis. And the fact that I keep calling him Trevor, which I think Chris is just, Chris is a person as well. It was just fun because this battling between us, because we're also both quite tall. I don't know if that played into it, but
she's tall.
Jill is tall, yeah.
Yeah, Jill's very tall.
But there was this combative thing, which I thought was, which was a lot of fun to play around with, getting his name wrong all the time. I think, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really good, because sometimes these other guys, especially in the mystery shows, can just be, just a throwaway. Like in the Garage Sale Mysteries, the daughter character, because the lead character was married, so obviously not that, but the daughter character, every movie she had a new relationship, like every single okay, we're never gonna see this guy again. but this, I was like, this guy, it feels like a credible match, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could really see it going somewhere.
Well, I'm very flattered to be considered a credible match for Amy Winslow. That's
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun as well to have, because we had a little restaurant scene at the beginning, you know, and sort of talking about old times, and you kind of see maybe. And I also like the fact that Amy's father wasn't a fan of me.
Yeah.
So not to give too much away, but yeah, no. That was, there was a lot of fun aspects to that.
Yeah, I thought this is one of the stronger of the, I think, four they've done. And
that's great.
Even going into it, just the name Dead Talk made me die laughing. I thought that was...
Isn't that clever? So good? It works on so many levels.
Yeah, it does.
It works on so many levels because of the, obviously, the TED Talk aspect, but the fact that the Dead Talk... I was very impressed with that one.
So you were also in A Brush with Love for this year.
Yes.
And you played... You were the other guy, but you were pretty, because sometimes the other guys are so terrible. They're like so much that they're funny and I enjoy them because they're just over the top bad men of business. But
right. You
were not, and you were pretty nice.
Just not thanks.
The right guy, I would say.
That's very nice. I think the thing about A Brush with Love, that was one of the, at the time, that was, I think, I spent a lot of time on that set. So mm-hmm. again, what's great about that is that you don't just get to know the actors and director, who is Peter DeLuise, who's mm-hmm. a great guy as well. But it's not that you just get to know those people. You also, you spend a lot of time with the hair and makeup people and the catering and mm-hmm. transport. And, you know, that it really becomes like a family feeling on set, you know, and because you're going into work every day and you're seeing the same people. And it's like, hey, how was your day? How was your weekend? How was your this? And, you know, you sat in the makeup chair and you're having a laugh. And, you know, that's the makeup trailer is always such a laugh. In fact, Jill on Mystery 101 was posting videos of this whole dancing and the makeup trailer to a song and sort of so that kind of thing is what I really enjoy, that going in and when you're spending, you know, between 7-9 days, sometimes longer, on a set, because you really make friends for life. It's a real community, and you know what, that's what's so great about Hallmark movies and the whole Hallmark community, that when you start working on a lot of Hallmark projects, you do run into the same people a lot of the time, and it's so great to be able to work to make friends with people and then get to work with them again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it must have been nice to work with Ariel Kibble. She seems like a delight.
Ariel was great. She really is. Ariel's she's again great actor, but again just a joy to be with. So funny and grounded and down to earth. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and like, not too shabby. She asked him to pick between Nick Bateman and you. I was like, that's not too bad.
Well, I think she jokingly said she gets the yin and the yang. I think she said that she gets to choose. I'm not sure which one I was, but
that's fun. So you were in A Twist of Christmas last year.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this one. We actually, we interviewed Brendan
last year,
and he's hilarious and great. We really liked him a lot. And he lived in Europe, grew up in Europe. So I don't know.
Yes.
Must have been kind of fun to...
Brendan's a good friend of mine. We actually, that's where we met. We met on A Twist of Christmas, and funnily enough, we actually bonded sort of between takes, because Brendan likes to do impressions as well.
Oh, so really? We
were kind of doing between takes, we were doing impersonations of different actors, and kind of like, not a competition, but like an impersonation of, you know, he does a Christopher Walken and I was doing some of my Godfather stuff and James Bond. So that's how we kind of bonded on that. But again, the fun thing about that character was playing... obviously the ex, the new husband of his ex-wife, and I'm playing Mr. Perfect, you know, the doctor who has the big house and the fancy car and all these kind of things. But the fun part about it, though, is that I'm kind of blissfully unaware that Brendan is kind of hating on me because I'm Mr. Perfect.
I mean,
and I'm just so happy and great and everything's great. And the fact that he even admits later on, do you know what the worst part is? He's actually a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, so that you was were one of the top three hottest bachelors and doctors in Seattle. So that had to feel good.
Well, yeah, that was the hottest doctors of Seattle calendar. So funny. I would have loved to have actually seen that calendar to see what pose I might have been.
The hot doctor calendar. I think we needed that.
Yeah.
There was in one of the Haley Dean movies, can't think of her boyfriend's name in that, but he gets to be in one of the hot doctor calendars. Come on, Hallmark, let's have these calendars.
Let's see these calendars. I always wonder if that's going to be, if the doctor one's going to be like the fireman one, or the firefighter calendar, you know.
I think it would sell quite well.
I think so. The Hallmark calendar.
Oh,
you're onto a winner there.
We've long said there needs to be a Hallmark calendar. And it would be, like, we've long said that we wish there could be a Hallmark fireman's movie and you could have like dueling firehouses, and you could have all of the a bunch of the usually wrong guys in one firehouse and they usually
That's hilarious.
And wouldn't that be the best? And it could be like a Romeo hilarious. And Juliet kind of like the daughter of the fire chief on one falls in love with the
I love that. You could start with the like a sort of West Side Story kind of thing.
Oh my gosh.
It could be a musical dancing number, and you know, you could, well, what about if one side were cops and the other were firefighters? Actually, I like the two dueling firehouses because you know, plague on both your houses as well.
It writes itself. I mean, let's be real.
Well, no, I think you've pretty much written it then. I think this is a thing. Put your name on it right now.
It would be so great. You could have like Andrew Walker and Paul Campbell and Cameron Matheson and like the normal hero one. Mm-hmm. And then you could have like Casey Manderson and I don't know, just all of the ones who typically are usually the other guy or the wrong guy or whatever kind of a thing. And Marcus Rosner.
I think you're onto a winner here. Yeah, I really do. What would it be called?
Well,
That's the question.
We figured that you'd want to have it be a Summer Nights movie, and you could have him be involved in some kind of pancake cook-off. So it could be like,
like a charity bake-off kind of thing, raise money for the community kind of thing.
At least in my small town where I grew up, they would have the firehouse would have a fundraiser pancake cook-off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could have that. And so it could be called the Pancake Wars.
You could add in something towards with the flames, something. What about something like an old flame, something to do with old flames as well, maybe work that into the title or something like that. And then, you know, people cooking on a fire, it could be a barbecue aspect as well.
And then
introduce the calendar in the movie and then say, you know, for all you Hallmark fans, if you want to collect the calendar, you can get it on the,
I mean, who wouldn't buy one of those? I would buy it.
I mean, I'd buy it.
You'd buy it. Everybody would buy one. Let's be honest. It would be great. You could have the proceeds go to
charity.
You could have make an appearance by Happy the Dog, and you could have the proceeds of the calendar go to like fostering dog stuff.
Well, funnily enough, a very good friend of mine is heavily involved in the Burns unit in Vancouver.
There you go.
And also in the dog charity. So there's that nicely ties into that kind of thing. But I really think you're onto a winner. This needs to happen.
All right. Well, we'll get on it. That's for sure. So
as long as I have a role in it, at some point.
Okay, film it in Utah, and I can be an extra. That would be perfect.
There you go.
But I did love also in A Toast of Christmas how you, instead of just calling the housekeeper and saying, hey, which present did you wrap? Like, it had been that day. It wasn't even like a long time ago. You could have just called her and said, hey, you remember that robot that you wrapped? What did you wrap it
in? Which one? No. I've got to get my stethoscope out. Dr. Kenneth to the rescue.
Yeah, that was hilarious. We were talking.
And what was funny, when I read the script, I thought, okay, this has to be, I have to treat this as if it is the most important operation. Yeah. What I actually was hoping was that I could get somebody to dab my forehead as I'm listening to the boxes to try and find this motor. I thought that I thought that would have been funny, but that was maybe going to be a bit too up the top.
Yeah, it was really funny. I enjoyed it. So you were on an episode. Were you on the finale of Series Unfortunate Events?
I was. That was quite an experience as well, because it was, I played Bertrand, who was the father, and got to work with Marina Baccarin from Homeland and a lot of other big projects from Deadpool. Mm-hmm. What was amazing about that was you turn up and the set designs are just incredible. Like, we're walking down a beach and you can see in the distance palm trees and water and everything. This is all, I mean, the fact that this is all indoors, I turned up and it literally, there's like a foot of sand on the ground, and it goes on it's like a warehouse full. They've actually created this beach scene.
Why did they do
that? Real palm trees.
Was the beach?
Sorry. Well, it's all got to be controlled, and you need the blue screen for various things and green screen. Oh. And to sort of control the environment. But they have this great studio where they do all this, and to turn up and see an actual boat on the sand. And it was just, I mean,
amazing.
And for me as an actor, it's kind of like playtime, you know, because I always say it's, you know, when you're a kid and you would find, you know, you'd have like a little, people had playhouses or things like that, that you use your imagination. But what was great about this was when everything's set up for you, it really is like getting just to let's play pretend, you know. It's kind of, we're actually on a beach here and there's an actual boat, and that was quite an experience. So
well, that's really cool. You had said off air that you filmed a Christmas movie with Ali Liebert. Is that correct?
Ali Liebert directed. And it was with Tori Anderson. Who was the lead, and Victor Zinc Jr. And that was
Victor Zinc Jr. that was in the firehouse.
Yes, he could.
Yeah.
Super nice guy as well. And what was fun, I was actually playing in that movie, it hasn't come out yet, but I play a country singer, of all things. So again, I'm kind of, I'm the ex again, and I'm a little bit of a not so nice guy. I'm a bit of a doofus, really, and I loved playing that. But what was great, I got to put on the whole cowboy hat and the accessories and etc. But I actually also got to sing and play guitar, which I'm not a particularly I wasn't trained in guitar, but because I was a violinist and everything, it kind of translated over. And the song that I sing is hilarious, because I'm trying to woo Tori back. And I can't give too much away because it hasn't come out yet. But it was such a fun character to play, because I've kind of gone off with her manager. And, I'm trying to woo her back. But like I said, the song is very, very funny and very ridiculous. And I actually got to play a hand in composing the song as well. So, which was another fun challenge. So, they actually asked me to play it British in a sort of, British, you know, like country. Keith Urban, who's, he's a Kiwi and he's a country singer. So they thought that would be a very fun aspect of it. So,
like a little.
So yeah, so I was playing
John.
An English LA country singer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was something certainly different for the resume.
Yeah. Yeah, you should get into voice acting if you do all these impressions.
Yeah, it's something I'm definitely looking into.
That's cool. Well, great. Well, we like to end our interviews with what we call the Team B questions. And this is, Amber found this interview in an old issue of Team B, which was this magazine.
Team Beat, okay.
Team Beat, yeah. This magazine that you could get like posters of Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like stuff like that.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's pretty dreamy. So
kind of would he be wearing a fireman's outfit like in the calendar?
I mean, right. So it would be
Teen Beat. Yes,
teen,
probably not.
So it would
okay.
be like teen appropriate.
Sure.
Your teen star. So
okay. Am I answering as a teen or do
no.
I can I just
this is your regular answer. So these are the
okay.
questions.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready? What is the best ice cream flavor?
Oh, am I allowed two?
Sure.
okay. Because in Vancouver there's a shop called Rain or Shine, and typically I get the one scoop, two flavors, and I get malted milk honeycomb, I think it is, and cracked mint.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. Malted.
Mixing it up there. Yeah,
yeah, like that. Okay. What is your favorite color?
Favorite color, it's kind of like a turquoise. You know when you're flying, when you go on vacation somewhere like a beach holiday and you fly over the water and just as it's getting slightly shallow, that sort of beautiful turquoise blue.
Yeah.
I would say that's because I love that, the idea of the sea and the vacation thing so much. So,
I love nothing more than the ocean. I absolutely, I'm with you there. So
very calming.
What music are you into right now?
Right now, I listen to a lot of movie soundtracks, like the movie scores. So even classic movies, I'll listen to the movie scores because I used to, for my movies show, I used to actually take movie score music and put it underneath while I was talking to give the show like a movie feel. So listen to a lot of movie soundtracks, but if I'm not, I'm probably listening to something like Tony Bennett or something like that. I'm a classic,
An
old school guy, Dean Martin, things like that.
I tell you, the score/movie soundtrack I've been super obsessed with lately is there's this movie called Wild Rose. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Okay.
But it's so good. You've got to see it. It's about this girl from Glasgow that wants to become a country music singer. And she's played by Jessie Buckley, who is incredible. Her voice is so amazing. And the songs are just incredible. In the movie, I really loved the movie, but I've just been listening to
Wild
that soundtrack.
Wild Rose, you say?
Wild Rose. Yeah,
Wild Rose. I will look into that because I love finding new soundtracks and scores.
Like,
it's great.
Like, even if people aren't that into country music, I don't know how anyone doesn't. Particularly, she has a song called Glasgow, which is just so beautiful. And I don't know how you could listen to that song and not be like, yeah, she's very talented. She's
Glasgow.
Really good.
A Scottish accent. I'm not even sure if that's a Glasgow accent. But
it's
yeah.
so good. She's great in it. And then her mom is played by Julie Walters, who's amazing in it.
Oh, Julie Walters. Oh, mm-hmm. Julie Walters is incredible. So did you say it's actually based in Scotland? So it's actually.
Yeah, it's in Glasgow. Yeah.
Right. Because that's, funnily enough, where I grew up is people always say, when they say, oh, you're originally from England, are you from London? Yeah. But actually, I'm closer to Scotland. So.
And
the accent from my hometown is actually very close to a Scottish accent. Yeah. I don't have that. But,
so you have to see it and then let me know.
I will look that up.
It's so
Wild cool. Rose.
Anyway, so, okay, what is your go-to date night food?
Date night food, I would say nothing heavy, probably something like fish, or if a nice restaurant, like probably a fish dish of
that
some
kind.
That sounds
good. Maybe. Okay. What is your go-to date night activity?
Dinner, definitely. Okay. Like if I'm going on a date, I like a good dinner, you know, a nice glass of wine, mm-hmm. you know, so that you can actually converse with somebody and get to know right. somebody. So, unless it's like a sort of, if it's like a date night in kind of thing, then pizza.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay.
But I'm more of a date night. Kind of,
okay, you know, okay. Good.
Dinner guy.
Okay. Dogs or cats?
Oh, you can't ask me that. That's such a, that's like Romulus and Capulets like that. You know what? Can I just say I love all animals and okay. leave it at that? Because yeah. I have friends who have dogs and I have friends who have cats, and I feel I'll lose friends.
Very good. So. Okay. So beaches or mountains?
Probably beaches, I would say, you know, because of the whole vacation thing there. But I did spend a lot of time in Norway, and, you know, there's something very tranquil as well about being surrounded by fjords and mountains and mm-hmm. Things like that. So,
very good. Okay. Would you rather be in a suit and tie or in sweats?
Suit and tie.
Ah, that's the right answer. Very good. Okay. Then what is your favorite holiday to celebrate in the year?
It's got to be Christmas.
Yeah.
It's got to be Christmas simply because so many Hallmark movies.
Yes.
Well, no, I get to go back to see my family in the UK and mm-hmm. See my parents, my brother and his family, catch up with friends, things like that. Yeah. So
it's hard to be Christmas, I mean.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. There's so many aspects to it that people enjoy. And you know what? That's the great thing, not to go off on a tangent, but I think with the, there's so many people I speak to who Hallmark has become part of their Christmas mm-hmm. tradition. It's, you know, they say that it's not Christmas unless they have stockings on the fireplace, certain songs on the radio, and the Hallmark movies on the TV. You know, it's become part of people's tradition. And I just think that can't be anything but a nice thing. So
yeah, you know. It's really, it's just the most cheerful network on television. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
So speaking of Hallmark, so this is the last question. You can pick one of your own. That's fine. What is your favorite Hallmark movie?
So I'm allowed to pick one of my own?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in that case, you see, that's another difficult one, because I always say that even choosing a favorite movie in general is difficult because it depends yeah. on the mood you're in. It depends on whether you're in the mood for a horror or a yeah. romance or, you know, comedy. So for the sake of being neutral, I will go for Dead Talk, because that was the last movie I was in, yeah. and it was so much fun to do, and because you seem to have really enjoyed it as well, and so I'll go for that one.
All right, good, very good. Well,
and by the way, before, I meant to say Montagues and Capulets. I don't know why I said Romulets and Capulets. I have no idea where that came from, but anyway.
It's Star Trek.
Felt the need to correct that.
It's the Star Trek. Yeah. Well, you passed the test. We'll let you keep making Hallmark movies.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do you have social media that you'd like to share?
I do. Instagram is, I think, Matthew_James_Dowden. I have a Facebook page, which there's also a Facebook page dedicated to, I released a children's book a couple of years ago called Matthew the Magnificent. Which is about a little boy who's bullied at school, and then a package is wrongly delivered to his house, and he has to summon up the courage to take it to the scary house at the end of the street. And it's there he meets a very, very, very old lady who, as it turns out, might be responsible for teaching every magician you've ever heard of. And she takes him under her wing, and he becomes Matthew the Magnificent. And there's a strong anti-bullying message in it and things like that. So, and what's great is I'm actually traveling to Calgary this month to work with school boards and librarians to chat to the kids about bullying, but also creativity and things like that, and promoting the book. But anyway, that is there is a specific Matthew the Magnificent page on Facebook, but there's also a Matthew James Dowden page as well on Instagram. And I am on Twitter. I think it's just at Matthew Dowden, or at Matthew.Dowden.
Okay, great. We'll have links to all that in the description section, and some people definitely want to follow you and check that all out. So thanks again so much for coming on. And it was really fun to get to talk with you, and I look forward to seeing what's coming up next. It'll be fun.
And let's get that Fireman movie made, and the calendar.
Let's do
it. As long as I'm in it.
Okay. It's a deal.
Okay. As long as we're both in it. Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. And we'll have to talk to you again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
We'd like to thank Matthew for coming on the podcast. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. If you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that. And please follow me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media and at iTunes and YouTube. And I'm doing my Disney Scares Month over on my channel, and I'd really appreciate you checking that out. And consider becoming a patron of the channel. We have so much fun in our Facebook group, and we have giveaways that start. You just have to, $2 a month is our entry, and you can be up for really awesome giveaways of HD codes of movies and other fun stuff. So we try to make it worth your while, along with other perks. And we also have our merch store that has a lot of fun stuff that is inspired by Hallmark, but also just the holidays. So make sure to check that out. We really appreciate all of your support. And thanks again to Matthew, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye. This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com, link in the description.